Honey, I'm going out. I'll be back in a couple hours.
You play Farmville and call yourself a gamer.
You said awesome, and I said I hate it.
Okay, so here we go. This is where the extended knowledge comes in.
Don't mind me. I'm just staring at a wall somewhere.
Can anyone afford Benedict Cumberbatch?
That's surprising.
I don't think a human could make those sounds.
Yeah, well, you can do it, though, can't you?
Yeah, I get it.
Hi, I'm Dean.
I'm Megalopole.
And I'm Jason. Welcome to Nerds Before Birds, the podcast where you'll find reviews, rankings, and general discussion on all things pop culture. This week, we watched a monster of a man, Jason Statham, take on a slightly bigger shark in the new film, The Meg, also starring Li Bingbing, or as she is known in Western culture, Bingbing Li, which is a common misconception. We will cover The Meg soon, but first, some apologies from last week.
Why don't you apologize for that crap pun real quick?
Yeah, no, I think I glazed over it quick enough that people might not have picked up on it. So that's okay. But that'll be on next week's podcast. I'll apologize for that.
Right.
Declan on Facebook pointed out that the Oscar category is Outstanding Popular Film. Most popular film. So that's good. Yep. Sorry for that.
That's what we're apologizing for. I thought you had like a list of really bad jokes that we were apologizing for.
No, we cut those.
Yeah.
They're gone.
That makes more sense.
Yeah. All your jokes have been cut from last week, so we don't have to list out that apology.
Beautiful.
We didn't even have a podcast. Cut the whole thing.
All we've got from Dean is, "Hi, I'm Dean." And that's it.
We just cut his feed completely.
You guys suck.
Also, Paul, my wife says I'm sorry for ripping you off about liking Dragon Ball Z. So
it's funny that you say that, because apparently I am also sorry, because apparently people don't share my love for Dragon Ball Z, and also nor should they. And I shouldn't, what are the words? I shouldn't thrust my passions onto people and get angry when they are not reciprocated. Apparently.
Yeah, okay. Please don't thrust your passions on me.
Oh my goodness.
What a weird sentence.
Yeah. Anyways, now that that's out of the way, let's get on to The Meg. Did it soar like an eagle, or did it just simply flip the bird? Dean, what did you think of this movie?
All right. First of all, I'm a bit upset and for a bit of different reason, Paul. I saw this movie and like before you guys did, and like I told you, Paul, like, the day after, I was like, I think I know what you're going to say for your intro.
I was actually thinking about this.
And also, if you don't say it, I'd be really upset. Well, guess what? I'm really upset.
What was it?
You didn't say it. You would totally go with like someone like, "Hi, I'm Bip Ben," and just like keep doing that the whole time.
Oh, the dog.
The dog?
I forgot about the dog.
It makes so much sense.
Really?
Your name starts with P.
Wow.
My name starts with P.
It's funny. It's like the catchphrase that I...
Okay.
It's such an obscure reference in that movie that I'm surprised you didn't go for it either. But that's interesting.
My favorite part.
I was expecting you to say you're Paul Statham, but
Paul Statham.
That didn't pan out either, so...
I thought that was too obvious.
Yeah, but most of them are
Pippin.
Like,
what the hell?
Pippin!
Most of them are pretty obvious. So
I'll be honest, I Googled everyone in this movie to see what I could do. Couldn't do anything. It was just like, screw it.
Man, you could have done Bing Bing Paul.
Nope. I ain't touching that one.
Could have done Pippin.
Anyways, Dean, what did you think of this movie? Let's not get bogged down.
This was a hard one. I had to do a bit of math. I started with at the 2.5 point and then subtracted a bird for bad CGI, and then I added half one for Jason Statham saying, "Chew on this, you ugly bastard," and then another half. So anyway, so there's a lot of math involved.
So you got to 8 points all. 8 birds.
Eight birds.
A lot of math, not a lot of content.
8 out of 5 birds. Yeah,
right.
No.
Cool. Yeah.
My math didn't work.
So it definitely... Yeah, let's move along.
Bloody confused.
Yeah, you can cut that if you want.
No, we're leaving that in for sure. That's awesome. Like one of the few jokes we can leave in.
That's going to be another shirt, isn't it?
What?
Dean does math good.
Crap math with Dean. Sorry.
Thank you. This movie is weird. It flips the bird, but I'd also still recommend people watch it.
Yeah, okay. I can understand that.
In a weird way, yeah.
It's still worth watching.
Yeah, I'd still say people should go watch it.
It flips the bird, but it's smiling at you.
As you do it.
Yeah.
It's like one of those, you know, like...
It's smiling as it's flipping, right.
Kind-hearted flipping of the birds.
Yeah.
It's
when you hit on a girl and they say, go away, you're ugly, but you see something in her eyes and you're like, oh,
yeah. It's a playful flip.
There's something there.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's it. You see that thing in her eyes that utter detest for you as a human being and you're like, yes, I think she saw me as a human being.
I'm in.
Paul, what did you think of this movie? Did you think it saw like an eagle or flipped a bird like Dean?
Well, I can answer this question in less than 2 minutes. I thought it soared like the Meg when it jumped out of the water. Kind of just. Like, I'd give it like 2.5. I enjoyed it. It's not, definitely not movie of the year, nowhere near it, but I had fun and I was on edge for quite a lot of this movie.
I noticed. So I was sitting next to Paul. We watched it together and he's like, ooh, ooh. Like a little girl every now and again. And I'm like, what is going on?
Because you know something's about to go down. You're like, oh, you're going to die.
Yeah. There was a nice amount of like fake out deaths as well in this. So it sort of kept you a little bit on edge. But overall, I felt like the CGI wasn't great. And I think for this kind of movie, and when we get more into spoilers, I suppose we'll talk about it more. But I think... it could have actually done better, in my mind, being a bit more violent.
Because it's a shark movie.
It's a shark movie, and and there's not much gore. It's very dulled down, and like, I mean, it's not great to watch gory movies, but this is the kind of movie that we're going to watch. You kind of expect it to be a little bit more violent than what it was, and and just a little bit more interesting in the way of deaths, like just a little bit more creative, because that's kind of what the movie is.
How interesting can you go, though?
A lot more than what they did, I think. It was kind of a bit boring.
Is the shark going to jump out of the water and eat him, or is it going to pull him down?
Yeah. Well, that's pretty much the two options.
That's really all you've got.
That's it.
Or submarine explosion.
Oh, that's true.
Maybe could fish slap someone to death with a tail.
Yeah. That's how Jason Statham could have won the day. Like, he just starts slapping people with a fish.
Get out my way.
But yeah,
flipping the bird or sorry?
Yeah, I think it flipped the bird for me. I think it's
right.
It's worth a watch. It's not as bad as Sharknado or something like that. But
brutal.
I won't be running back to watch this again. For me, but
be swimming back.
Wait till Netflix.
Yeah, I feel like it could have been a good Netflix movie, not a cinema movie.
Yeah.
But yeah,
it's better than The Mummy.
Oh, it's definitely better than The Mummy. Anything's better than The Mummy. That was terrible.
Yeah, that was a crap movie.
Yeah, but yeah. Anyway, so I think we could probably go into spoilers because there's really not that many spoilers in this. And if you really care, I'd probably get out now. But
get out of the water.
Yeah,
get out of the water. Shark bell's ringing.
Yeah,
swim exactly. To shore. We're about to drop some spoils.
Yeah, exactly. So what did you guys think of the whole switcheroo with the Rainn Wilson's character? Doing like, because I kind of liked it when they introduced him as almost being a level-headed, like, you know, the billionaire that's a little bit... a realistic kind of thing. Like, he actually seemed to care, but then he completely flips in the second act or the third act. Yeah. What did you think of that? Like, did you like that or did it fall more into the cliche for you guys? Dean, what did you think of his character as a whole?
I enjoyed that, but I don't know, for me, he always seemed like a little bit like he was playing with that kind of moral compass, like the whole time. 'Cause you know, he's talking when, you have the whole scene where he's, you know, they're saying, oh, we need to evacuate, or like, you know, we need to, like, we can't pursue this. And he's like, no, no, we've made a discovery and we need to pursue it. We need to put people's lives in danger to, you know, for like, you know, just he was completely thinking of his own kind of, own needs and whatnot. But, yeah, I absolutely loved it then, because then all that kind of story, all those story beats paid off when he did do the massive flip and was like, oh, wow, this guy is a bastard.
Yeah.
And it was very, for like the 5 seconds before he ends up dead.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. In probably one of the coolest deaths.
Yeah, that's fair enough. What about you, Paul? What did you think of Rainn Wilson's character?
In all honesty, I thought it was a very true portrayal of what a billionaire in this day and age would be.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think it's accurate now to have like the billionaire from Jurassic Park where it's like, I have a lot of money, I'm going to do something cool with it because I love animals. This is like, I have a lot of money, I want to do some stuff, but I also want to get some stuff out of this. Like even the bit where he flips out, where he's like, $30 million submarine, $10 million glider. Yeah. We're not getting that back. So it's like, he's a billionaire.
Just after the other guys died as well.
They just couldn't give a crap.
He's like, I don't really care.
Couldn't give a
about
crap
that guy
about
that
him.
Just died. I'm just racking up the cost that it cost me for that
that's
guy
right.
to die.
But I think like that's kind of what it would be. It's like, yeah, they're dropping a crap load of money to build an underwater research station.
Yeah.
You kind of want to see something back. He didn't become a billionaire from being a nice guy.
Fair enough.
I did like when he did his flip. And that, can we, like, we've passed the spoiler barrier.
Yeah, we're going into spoilers. That's why.
And they're dropping the bombs on the Meg. Mm. I do love the fact where they were like, ha ha, we got him. And he's like, nah. Hit him again.
Yeah.
I was like, that's good. That's a good fake out.
I did like that because I was like, okay, yeah, he's actually thinking about it a little bit more than anyone else. But then it turns out that they just killed a whale or whatever.
And so he was a smart idiot, basically.
Yeah. Smart idiot for like 2 seconds.
Cautious moron.
what I didn't like, and I was really disappointed that helicopter didn't get taken out by the Megalodon.
Yes! I was like, am I right?
I was waiting for it. And
the
time. Yeah. And I think it's because everyone's kind of waiting for it to happen. And they subverted your expectations a little bit with that by having the two helicopters crash at the end instead of having the Megalodon, like, you know, jump up and take it out. But
that was hectic, that little bit. We were like, whoa.
Yeah. I found the visual effects just a little bit bad in that section. And it took me a little bit out of it. But
it looks like a cartoon. But
the one that was good, though, when they crashed into the boat.
Yeah.
I thought that sort of fireball across the deck looked pretty decent.
Yeah, I'd say like because it'd blend into probably some practical effects on the side of the ship, I'd say. But who can really know these days? So
the thing is, Jason, that CGI isn't really what makes these kind of movies. What is important is the characterization and story arcs. And thank goodness we got really, really great characters in this, right? Am I right?
Yeah, I know, right? Name one.
I was passing the bat on to you, hoping that you could come up with
okay.
One.
Yeah, cool.
I recommend Ruby Rose. I don't know.
Oh man, Ruby Rose. I didn't know she was in this movie. We're going right into that. So okay, I'm sitting in the cinema and she comes on screen and I just look at Paul and I'm like, I didn't know she was in this. What is happening? Like, no.
He looks at me with terror.
Yeah.
Not because of a shark, but because of Ruby Rose.
Yeah, literally. There was moments where she almost gets eaten in this movie, and I was a little disappointed, I have to admit. But
he said, there's a scene where she accidentally gets pushed into the ocean, and the shark's coming at her, and then she gets saved, and I could just hear Jason go, damn.
Yeah.
So good.
But there is something about it though. I know, like, I think you said, Paul, afterwards that you thought her American accent was like terrible.
It's filthy.
But I actually preferred it more than hearing her Australian accent. And I was like, okay, she's not like, I'm not hating her in this movie. Like,
yeah,
her hair did really annoy me though. Her hair. Cause like I have this problem when there's like characters in movies and they have their hair like come over their face and they don't like move it out of their face because of the look or something like that.
I'm like that.
It's a really weird pet peeve that I have, but because I'm like, can you see okay?
Was she just always getting out of the water, always having like just coming from a shower or something? Yeah. She's like, I haven't dried my hair yet.
She's stuck in the 90s.
No, she had like, it was like dreadlocks or something, wasn't it? Like it was sort of like dreaded.
It was just super, super gelled.
It was just like spiky.
Spiky hair.
Yeah,
because the comic relief token African American guy, he actually comments on it right when they're in the water towards the end. He's like, "What happened to your hair?" kind of thing, because it's washed out all the gel or something like that. her hair really annoyed me because I was like, can you see right now when you're working, you're just going to have constantly like these strands of hair in your way. Like imagine how many errors she's making just because she can't see properly. With the hair.
It's the shark's coming at me.
Oh, you got heaps of oxygen. Oh, wait, I was reading that wrong. It's actually 10%, not 100% oxygen. Whoops.
Sorry, I thought there was another zero there.
Yeah. But I didn't hate her in this movie, but I was surprised she was in it. And there was that moment when I was like, oh no. But I didn't hate her in this movie. And by the end of it, I was like, hey, okay, I'm on board. She's okay.
Jason's a Ruby Rose fan now.
No, I wouldn't say I'm a fan of Ruby Rose. We don't go that far. But but I didn't hate her in it. Then you had like Cliff Curtis, who's also from, he is from like the movie that I do know him in the most is Die Hard 4. He's the FBI agent, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
He's also from Fear the Walking Dead as well, which I haven't watched that much of that. Have you watched much of that, Dean?
I watched the first season. I watched the first two seasons and kind of gave up on that. It's like it was just repeating, like rehashing things that you'd already seen in The Walking Dead and not doing it as good. Like,
wow, that's an insult in itself.
It is. Like season two ends with them getting to Mexico. I'm sorry, spoilers for the crab show. Basically, they show up and to this estate and the owners are keeping their relative zombies in a pen out the back. Because they think
that's
they're
exactly
just sick.
Season two of
exactly. Exactly the freaking same. We've seen this all before. And it wasn't the best the first time, but it sucks even more. So I gave up.
Yeah.
Anyway.
What about you, Paul? What did you think of Cliff Curtis in this? Do you know him from anything else, really? Like, other than Die Hard 4?
No. Oh, looking at his IMDb at the moment, obviously, Die Hard. It took me a couple of seconds to be like, where do I know you from?
Yeah.
He was fine. Like, he plays the role of... like, dude who is in charge of crap. Well, he has like that in charge kind of aura.
That was his name, wasn't it?
Character name? I'm pretty sure that was his title, dude who is in charge of crap. Yeah.
But he's also in Avatar. So,
yeah.
Really?
Cool.
Is he in the newer Avatars or
he's
is
in
it?
All of them. He's in
Avatar
2, 3, 4, and 5. No, he's not in the original.
But not in the original. Right. Yeah.
No. He's a new boy. Right.
So he will be an Avatar.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Fair enough. What about, because like all these movies are got to appeal to a Chinese audience now. So we've got Bing Bing Li or Li Bing Bing. Li Bing Bing is her actual Chinese name because in Western culture, we often say the last name second. But in Chinese culture, you always put the family name first. So she's actually Li Bing Bing, not Bing Bing Li. But that's just a random.
I feel like you're just covering your tracks there because you stuffed up the name, and so you're just making up excuses.
No,
he knows how to speak Mandarin, dude.
She's definitely Li Bingbing, because she's credited on the end of the film as Li Bingbing, and on IMDb she's actually credited as Bingbing Li, which like that's how it's been jumbled up on IMDb. But what did you think of her in this movie? Did you like her in this, and have you seen her in anything else before?
Was she in? I might be wrong, but was she in The Forbidden Kingdom?
She was, I believe so. She was.
Shut up. That's not racist, Paul.
That's a bold play to start with.
Okay, though. I'm just like, I was trying to figure. Good. Sweet. I was thinking of the right person.
I can barely remember that movie, but yeah, she was in that movie.
Definitely.
I remember Jackie Chan was in it and Jet Li, but that's about all I remember from it. Is it like time travel? Does he like go back in time or something?
No, that's the one.
No.
He goes.
But there's an American teen.
Yeah. The teenager goes into like this fantasy world, basically.
Oh, okay. And, right. Cool.
Has to save the day. Have you not seen The Forbidden Kingdom?
No.
Really?
No. Yes. Wait.
It's got Jackie Chan and Jet Li.
Cool.
And you have not seen The Forbidden Kingdom.
You haven't seen it.
Wow.
Wow.
Who wins that fight?
Watch it and find out.
Yeah.
I think I will.
It's pretty good.
I can't actually remember who wins that fight, but yeah.
I can't either. That's why I diverted.
Do they actually... they do fight, though, in that movie, right?
They do.
Got it.
At least once.
Yeah. You have Jackie Chan and Jet Li. You're not making them fight.
Yeah, of course. I feel like there is a fight, but I feel like it kind of ends like they're both winners kind of thing. Like in the end, it's like the producers are like, we can never really decide who would actually win in this fight. So we'll let them both win.
Yeah. It's the first divisive. Avengers when, you know how Iron Man and Thor do the whole forest fight, and then it's like, guys, we're on the same team. And then it's like, okay. And then that's it. So you know what actually wins that exactly. fight. It's exactly the same thing.
Anyway, getting back to Li Bingbing, what did you think of her in this?
I thought she was, she was great. I enjoyed her. I thought she was, I'm sure she, this is probably one of the few Western films that she's done, I'm guessing.
Other than like Age of Extinction, Transformers Age of Extinction, and there are a few. Like she's in Resident Evil Retribution, and there are a few movies, but I think this is the one where she's the most in the forefront. For those movies, like Transformers Age of Extinction, she was in that. But she wasn't like one of the main female roles.
She was like Kelsey Grammer's assistant, right, in that movie?
I think so, yeah. I think she was.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. But I thought she was great. And I actually really thought that the girl that played her daughter was fantastic. Oh, she was
great.
Yeah.
She was great.
But it might be down to the writing with that character too, because I don't know, these kind of movies, they do the like the sassy kid role really well when they write it. Mm. And I think she fit really well into this this movie and kind of brought a little bit of more lighthearted sort of feel to it. But
you can tell like she was just having fun playing herself and then just like hanging out on a cool movie set.
Yeah.
All the time.
I was a little not sold on Li Bingbing to begin with, to be honest.
Yeah. Racist.
Like, there's a whole bit where Jason Statham saves her, saves the crew, saves everyone except for Hiro Nakamura, gets them all out of there. And then he is going to then jump into the ocean to swim to the Meg to shoot it with the thing. And he's like, you know, You know, you'll be sad if I die. And she gives, you know, she's
says
like
a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah.
And it's like, he just came from Thailand to save everybody and you'd know him for an hour.
I read into that a little bit differently to you, though. I read into that as that was like this flirting kind of thing where she's sort of like.
Not good.
Yeah, I think it was, because I think that's what it was meant to be anyways, is that little bit of like flirtation, like, I might be a little bit like, but almost like winking at him kind of thing. Like, I would be sad kind of thing. Hopefully you come back.
Right. Like we're like back to the beginning of the podcast.
There was the whole, what?
What?
You know, where it's like, get away from me. I'm not interested in you at all. Wink.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. That's what was happening. Brilliant.
Except for the detestable human being part. Yeah.
Way to go, Jason.
There was the whole scene when, like, after Jason Statham rocks up in the sub the first time and, like, saves the crew.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then they get up and it was, like, the first kind of interaction that the two characters, Jason Statham and Li Bingbing, have. And she's just, like, completely ripping him to shreds. Like, ah, oh, you could have saved everyone. You didn't have to let the hero guy die. And it's like, wow, everyone was giving Jason Statham heaps of crap.
Yeah, that guy's death, though.
Yeah, that was the most emotional bit in the movie for me, I think.
Oh, that was just dumb. That was so dumb. He had
so much time.
He had heaps of time. He could have, like, the amount of time. So, okay, anyone that's still listening to this podcast and hasn't watched the movie, right?
Yeah.
Let's catch you up. Actually, we should probably catch up a little bit of the story had you not listened to, or had you not actually seen the movie. So Jason Statham is a rescue diver. Is that like a job description? Is that what he does?
A deep sea rescue diver.
Deep sea rescue diver. Wow.
Surely there can't be that much work for you to have a job description of that kind.
Mate.
Like a deep sea rescue diver.
It is a dog eat dog world in deep sea dive rescue.
I bet it is.
Shark eat shark.
Oh, yeah.
Very competitive.
But, okay, so he's a deep sea diver, whatever. And it starts off with him rescuing some people in, is it a submarine for the first one? I can't remember.
Yes.
Yes.
It's a nuclear submarine.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
So he's rescuing some people in that. Some of his crew are in a different part of the submarine and something attacks the side of the submarine. And at that point, he freaks out, jumps into the their rescue sub or whatever it is. Just gets out of there and the people that are on his crew die and he's very upset about it. So he quits being a rescue diver. Again, yeah. I really find that hilarious that that's a job description.
The first string rescue diver was like, yes, couldn't hack it.
Yeah,
I'm in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's it. I've been waiting in the wings for this one. But
it's slowly poisoning him.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. So yeah, like he goes to Thailand and I don't know, retires or something
as
like that.
As you do.
As you do.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, fast forward
as
to
literally every washed up character does in every single one of these movies.
Oh, yeah. Captain and cultural appropriation.
You have a falling out and then the next scene is
and he's completely
just drinking his sorrows.
You're in another country drinking. Yeah.
Exactly.
Hoorah. So yeah. He's drinking his sorrows away in Thailand and there is what I like to liken. It's like an oil rig looking thing, but it's a cross between what looks like an oil rig and the facility from Deep Blue Sea. and it
totally is.
Like it really is. And they're doing some sort of research into the bottom of the floor of the ocean or something. I don't know. They never really explain what it is, do they?
Very important.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Very important.
What? Yes, they did.
What was it? It was like going through the bottom of the ocean, Paul?
They thought that until that point, the Marianas Trench was the deepest point on Earth. And that's because all of the mapping that they did at the bottom of the floor of the ocean was done quite a while ago. Technology's come a long way. And they were like, we believe that the bottom of this trench here is actually like a giant cloud, basically a false surface. Yep. And it's significantly deeper below. And I think like they'd be doing secondary research, but the primary thing of Mana One, the research station, is this.
Yeah.
And it's going to benefit everyone. Like everyone. All of humanity to know.
Well, because if it's completely undiscovered and protected, then there's going to be so many different species of things down there.
Yep.
Could be medicine. Could be a giant rack-off shark.
There could be could be medicine.
What are the odds of that happening?
There's a squid. Yeah. There's some dead people.
Fair enough. Yeah, sounds fun. Break through that cloud, that misty cloud, right?
Yes.
Which exposes a hole or something for the Megalodon to come through, right?
It's when they go back up.
You saw it, Jason. They explained it perfectly. Yeah.
They really did.
Yeah.
They did.
Anyways, so
stop pretending like it's confusing.
Does that mean that the submarine in the very beginning isn't attacked by the Megalodon because it wouldn't have been the submarine. Was that below the cloud in that instance?
Must have been.
Huh.
Yeah, because the Megalodon couldn't come through until they put a hole in the cloud, right? To let them out. So, yeah. Anyways, I'm really picking apart a movie that is kind of exempt from plot holes because it's just stupid.
I can't believe you found a plot hole in this movie, Jason.
Yeah.
Maybe there's always been a shark floating around.
Yeah.
And then the second one came through.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe they were able to like breach the cloud and then like the baby one came through and attacked the submarine or something like that. Anyways.
The math makes sense. Sure. Two fart bubbles, two sharks. That's
correct. Exactly. The size.
That's it. So anyways, so it's Jason Statham's ex-wife is on the crew that explore the dense ocean floor. And they get trapped down there because things happen in darkness. I couldn't see anything that was going on. So I was like, yeah, okay, they're getting...
They got hit by a shark.
Yeah, but spoilers. You know, like it was hit by a shark. No, wasn't it? They got attacked by a squid first. There was a squid.
No, that was the other one.
They got rammed by the shark.
Yeah.
Wait.
No, the squid doesn't show up until...
No, the squid hits them first and then the shark wrecks the squid.
Yeah, and they fire all the lights up
and the shark wrecks the sub.
Or maybe that's Li Bingbing's sub that gets attacked by the squid. Yeah.
It was. They didn't get attacked by the squid.
There it is. Yes.
You can see how much we were paying attention to this movie, but...
look, a bit of a disclaimer.
You guys had a lot to drink before you saw this
Jason
movie.
Jason and I were a little bevved.
we only had one each, man. It's
one liter each.
I heard about the thing that you said, Paul, when Jason Statham took his shirt off.
Oh my God.
So when Jason Statham actually takes his shirt off in that moment, I looked across to Heidi who I was with and I just like jokingly like covered her eyes and, and I was like, I was kind of like, I looked at him and I'm like, this guy's really old. And I was like, is this really like appealing? And I was like, he looks kind of gross to me, but look, Heidi goes, oh, no, he's quite appealing. Just like really innocently.
All right.
I very much, I was in the same boat, but if you ask my wife, she'll say the same thing.
Yeah. So I'm completely wrong on that. So yeah, it's quite interesting to hear that.
Yeah.
But maybe I'm just not the audience.
Maybe you're just weirdly not attracted to Jason Statham for some reason.
Yeah. Maybe what? That's it.
I don't understand that. But on the way back from the movie, I didn't realize that Rachel had no idea who Jason Statham really was.
And oh, really?
Like, oh, yeah. And then she's like, I just thought, because we always described him as looking like our mate, Michael.
Yeah.
Shout out to Michael. And then she's like, it's like, I was not interested.
Obviously, he'll be listening to this podcast.
Yeah. I was not interested in this actor that looked like Michael. But he has abs. He's hot. I was like, okay, interesting. All right. And I had two ways to take that. Either I'd be offended or,
or you start working out.
Feel very little. Or I could look on the silver lining and think, great, now we get to watch The Italian Job.
Oh, yeah.
And transport it.
You should have been like, I have abs. They're just like hidden under the layers of fat.
But they're here.
Everyone has abs, but they're there.
Look, they're on order.
Coming in from Amazon.
Coming from
along with my Blu-ray 4K copy of The Meg.
That's so much in shipping.
Yeah, have you ever seen those people that get like plastic surgery over their like tubby bellies where they get like abs like carved into their like their fat rolls?
I've seen that.
That is like the most disturbing thing. It's so bizarre, but
it's expensive like, to too. Spend.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah, you'd know, wouldn't you, Paul?
Apparently.
Allegedly.
I don't think your abs are meant to stick out past your pecs.
Why not?
I don't think that's...
Not with that attitude. You're just not swollen enough, bro.
I don't have them, so I wouldn't know, so...
You ever ab-pressed a bus?
Anyway, so getting back to the storyline for this movie, they're under the cloud, stuck under the cloud, and so they're like, we need to get Jason Statham back because he's the only rescue diver person alive or something like that, because it's not a job description.
No, he was the only one alive who's made a rescue below 10,000 feet.
Right.
Only three people have, and he killed two of them.
To get the job.
To be the number
one.
We're
having tryouts.
I'm going to want to be in a movie in about 5 years.
How good would that look on your resume? Seriously. Yeah.
Reason for leaving past employment. Killed my two other friends.
It's like, it's just all in the way you word it.
But that's
Exactly, yeah. That's it. So anyways... They bring him in to rescue his ex-wife who's down the bottom. And,
super side note, can I interject real quick? Ex-wife is Australian. Australian
she?
Actor.
I
yes.
So.
Yes, Jessica McName? McNamee? Jessica. Not only is she Australian, she was in a show that I used to watch a bunch called Pack to the Rafters.
Oh, yeah.
No way.
Yeah. Really?
I thought she looked familiar, but man, that name, McNamee.
Oh, is it McNamee?
Like she's like
McNamee?
I think it's
McNamee.
I don't know, but I feel like she's Jessica? Like sponsored by Macca's or something. This is my McName.
This is my McName. You never tell anyone your McName, otherwise I have power over you.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, yeah, I thought she looked familiar though.
G'day, I'm Dean McPherson.
I didn't even realize that she was Australian. I thought her accent was pretty good. Realized that Robert Taylor, who plays the Dr. Heller or whatever, I knew he was Australian, and I've seen him in heaps of things before. So I was listening in for his American accent, and he doesn't do too badly, but her one was flawless. I thought she did a great job.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize.
What I'm learning is that both her and Robert Taylor, who is Hella, should have had a little sit down with Ruby and been like, look, here's how you do it. It's really easy.
I think, you know what? I didn't mind Ruby's accent.
Have a shower. Get your hair out of your face. Stop talking like a moron.
Her accent was good when she
didn't speak.
When she was using it, like when she did the American accent, it was great. But she kept dropping it. I noticed.
Yeah, it sort of flowed in and out every now and again.
Yeah.
And
it's like when Americans spends like let's say 5 years here, and they just start saying words a little differently.
Yes. For sure. And you get like those little really bogan Australian slang that comes out in the middle of like a sentence that's super American, and it's really bizarre.
Yep.
And you kind of
bizarre.
Like, wait a minute, you're not meant to say that like I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, what's going on there?
I was walking down the street and this guy bumped into me and was like, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah. Wait, what?
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
But yeah, I thought she was pretty good. So she's stuck in the submarine down the bottom, and I'm going to try and say his Japanese name. I believe he's Japanese, Masioka. He's Japanese American actor. He plays Toshi in this,
the hero from Heroes.
Yeah. He's from Heroes. Yeah. So. He is hero. Is he hero on Heroes?
Yes.
That hero on Heroes. Name?
Hero on Heroes.
H-I-R-O, hero.
Yeah, H-I-R-O.
Right. Hiro Nakamura.
Yes.
So he's in this, and then he dies in the most like stupidest way, I think, ever.
Shut up.
No, he does. Like, it's so pointless.
It was emotional.
It's so pointless.
It was sad.
It was not sad. I was like, just get on the submarine. You're up the steps. You had to take the time to put the letter in the pocket. It's like, he could have just...
What?
Like... He could have jumped on when...
Or They could have had the humongous human whose nickname was The Wall just pull his like tiny science ass up through the hatch. He probably weighs honestly like 65 pounds wet.
Yeah.
Just pull him through, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
I was kind of waiting for that. Like, that could have been an awesome Jason Statham hero moment. Oh, no, you bloody don't. You're coming up with me.
Oh, jeez.
That would have been awesome.
That's why he's not a teacher anymore.
That would have been cool.
Yeah.
That would have been good. And sort of like the guy's like, I'm going to be a hero, close the hatch. And they're like, bro, we've still got like 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We'd be up. We'd be going up like right now.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll just still we'll just wait for you, you know.
Moron.
But yeah, like I just thought that was really pointless and dumb. And I kind of like, there's a few moments in this movie where people make sacrifices that I'm like, did they need to do that? Like, was it necessary for the Dr. Heller to, like, you know, splash around or whatever? Surely someone else could have splashed on the boat where this is kind of thing and, like, direct the shark away from the people in the water.
No, it's centered towards the boat, though. It's upside down.
Yeah, well, they could have, like, thrown something or, you know, like, just distracted in some way.
I can't believe you're finding all these plot holes.
Like, I know, in this masterpiece of a movie.
Wait till we get to the end.
Oh, yeah. All right. So, okay. They get him out. Alba Hiro or Toshi. Or Toshi. How do you say his name?
Toshi.
Toshi? Okay, whatever. So he dies. The submarine explodes. By the pressure? Is it the pressure that just like explodes?
No, the shark hits it and detonates it.
Right. Yeah. So that explodes. Then he goes up and everyone's like, oh, why didn't you save everyone?
Yep.
And I would have just been in that moment because he was an idiot and he didn't deserve to be saved.
Totally. That's how you make new friends.
Yeah, exactly.
Love it.
That's it.
Insult their dead friend.
Their dead friend that somehow needed to sacrifice himself in like a dumb. Yeah.
Anyways, totally unnecessary.
So now they open the porthole or something. Yep. So it's like basically Pacific Rim from this point on. And now all the megalodons can come out of the one hole.
Yep.
When they killed the megalodon at about 40 minutes in or 50 minutes in, I was like, it's either not dead or there's another one. There was only two options.
The fake out got me. I thought it was dead. Like, it's not going to be dead.
Yeah. And so were you happy when it wasn't?
Hell
when
yeah.
When it was dead? And
more
there was a bigger one?
Things. That reveal scene, though, I thought was actually awesome. When they're like,
yeah.
Because they start having the conversation of saying, like, the bite marks in the station are different.
Yeah, I did like that.
And then it just comes hard out.
I did like how they teased it, like, just a couple of seconds beforehand.
Yeah.
You know what I kept thinking, though, is that guy that falls in the water, like, the wall character.
Yeah.
When he falls in the water, I'm like, there were sharks swarming
everywhere.
All around everywhere in that water 2 seconds beforehand, and he's just paddling in the water. No way would you be doing that.
Look, mate. It's like size comparison. Like,
yeah, he can take those ones.
if you're trying to, like, you know, getting
size comparison
attacked by a vicious hound, you're then not gonna be that scared of a shih tzu with rabies.
I'd be more scared.
It's size comparison.
Yeah, wait. No. These comparisons don't work because the shih tzu is now the size of a lion in this situation. It's not like a small shih tzu. It's a lion.
Okay. It would have been amazing if he got killed by a normal great white shark.
He got killed by
a great shark. And then that great white shark gets killed.
And it could have been, well, I think that's where, like, because they went for like a PG-13, like an M rating, they couldn't go for that super violent death. And I read some trivia somewhere where the director actually did have like an R-rated cut of this movie.
Yeah.
And he was very disappointed that they cut it all back because he said that the deaths are actually more intense, but also more comedic. Because they go on for like in like really bizarre sort of ways kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Like in Jaws.
And he really plays up that whole B budget kind of thing in that way. And so I think he was a little bit disappointed that the studio interfered and kind of took away from that. But that gets me to the question, do you guys think it would have been better if it was more violent?
I think it would. I think it's something that is, as you said before, it's something that is kind of expected in these kind of movies. And it was marketed as like the big shark horror film of, you know, the modern day. And there was no gore and there was no horror, really. And actually, I learned something today. Apparently, they lost the original director.
Really?
For this movie.
By a shark attack?
Oh, no, they did because it was in production hell for something like since 1998, so like 20 years it's been in production hell. So it was actually I always mess up his first name, but it's Guillermo del Toro.
Guillermo del Toro.
That's Guillermo. It. Because the L's throw me in that name. Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah,
he picked it up first. And he was going to be he produced it though. And he had another director. I'm trying to remember the name of the director that he brought on.
Was it Eli Roth? Cause that's the guy that I heard.
Yes, he did, but he wanted to be, I think he wanted to actually star in it.
Okay.
And as like the lead role. And I think they kind of were like, no
one's going to pay to see Eli Roth in a lead role.
Basically. But I believe it was even before Eli Roth was attached, there was another person that was going to direct it. And they ended up, like, it just broke down because Disney owned the rights when the book first came out in 97.
Yeah, it's based on a book.
Right. Yes. And in the book... Yeah. There's a lot of other things that happened that didn't happen in the movie, like the shark was sensitive to light and all those kind of things that they don't explore in this movie. They just, it's like, it never affects it. But that would have been really cool.
That would make a lot of sense because it's never really seen light before, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it would have been better. But yeah, it's one of those like production hell nightmare sort of things. But I think, if Eli Roth, you cannot imagine Eli Roth doing a lighthearted version of this. Because Eli Roth, Paul, I don't know whether you know him as a director at all, but he started out his career making a movie called Cabin Fever.
Duh.
Which... and he also made another movie called Hostel. You may have heard of that one. But Cabin Fever was one of those movies where the actual sort of baddie or whatever is a disease, and it's a flesh-eating virus. And it's, quite disturbing.
I've heard of it. So, I never want to watch it because it sounds disgusting.
Yeah. It is quite disgusting. So he made that, and he's made a lot of very violent sort of things. He's also in Inglourious Basterds as the one with the bat. I can't even remember what his character's name is. But and you can imagine what it'd be like if he made it. Like, wouldn't be
the bear Jew.
Campy.
The
what?
The Bear Jew.
Yes, that's his name in that. But
we know him as the Bear Jew.
Yeah, that's it.
Wow.
But yeah, what about you, Paul? Do you think it would be a better movie if it was more violent?
I'm kind of on the fence about that. Because I feel like it goes in the same vein of when we were talking about Die Hard 4 the other day. And how it's like the cinematic release was a little bit cleaner and blah, blah, and it's great. And then you sort of sit down and you watch the classic, like the Die Hard cut. And it's like, yeah, it feels like Die Hard, but the cinema one was kind of like, it was fine.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have seen more blood. More blood would have been great. Cause it is a shark attack.
Yeah.
But I think it was okay, to be honest.
Because I actually think of it, though, I look at it and I go, Jaws was a more violent movie than this.
And yeah, Jaws, it really was.
Is only, it's a PG-13 movie too, right?
Yeah.
So how did they get away with more, but then this dials it right back? And maybe that's because they're trying to appeal to a wider audience and that kind of thing. But I'm like, it's a shark movie.
Like, I also think in Jaws, there are less, less shark attack moments. There are less moments for gore than what is in this movie. And, but the way, and it's a lot of it is implied and you don't see nearly as much as you think you see.
Yeah, but that guy getting bit in half at the end of the movie, when they're on the boat, that is brutal.
You do see that. You also see a dead corpse, like just, floating in the water, and there are limbs.
That's true.
We didn't get any severed limbs in this movie.
You got the guy's hands as well. It's very brief, right?
Oh yeah, that's right. You loved that bit.
When he's holding onto the whale, Rainn Wilson.
Oh, he gets and then his hands just sitting there.
And just his hands are sitting there.
Okay. I take that back. We got a severed limb.
Plenty of severed limbs.
I think there were a lot of sharks with severed limbs, but that was it.
Oh, that was sad. Yeah. I'm kind of glad those boats died.
All right.
Screw those guys.
At that point in the movie, I thought, like, wow, this is actually exciting. They're going a completely different turn with this and making the Megalodon the hero. Like, he's coming back for revenge.
Wait,
on humanity. Oh. For all the horrible things that we've done to sharks.
Yeah.
You can tell it's the Megalodon from its unique markings. It has the Sea Shepherd logo on it. It only hunts whalers.
Yeah.
Like, this is great. Maybe the Megalodon and Jason Statham can team up.
Yeah, that'll be the sequel that we'll inevitably get.
That's the big thing he can fight next. He can fight big fishing.
And he's like just riding a Megalodon in the next one.
Like Aquaman, he just like fights Japan.
Yeah.
That is the only way I'd see the sequel if that happened.
Yeah.
Perfect.
What did you think of that whole sequence where it's going towards the beach? I don't know. Where was that beach in the world?
I think it was either Singapore. I think it was Singapore.
Was it Singapore?
Yeah, it was Singapore.
I had no idea where that was, but so it's going towards that beach and it's like overpopulated. It felt very Jaws in that moment. I felt like, just all the people just crowded into that small space. And then you had like the really cool shots of it underneath and then picking up all the floating, pillar things, whatever they're called. The rafts,
That was funny.
What did you think of that? Because I was really surprised that it didn't get more, like there weren't more deaths in that moment because there's so many people there.
Mm.
But there's maybe two people get eaten or three people get eaten in that moment. It doesn't seem like a lot. But what did you think of that, Paul?
Well, who got killed? There was like the guy in that floating ball thing, which is pretty funny. Right.
That is pretty funny.
And then there's probably one or two more. What I think I like the most about this scene is looking on IMDb, and there's an actor called Wei Yi, who is listed in this movie, and his movie role is Awesome Kid on Beach. Which I think is fantastic. Wow.
That's awesome.
It was good.
He is awesome. I did not mean to go down that path.
I got curious, though, as to how deep this beach is. Because, like, I'm going off the beaches that we swim in Australia. And, like, when you go out, to where you sort of have to swim to stay up, you're probably just, like, a meter off the floor. How on earth is, like, what they say, it was 90 feet long, but nearly 60 feet high. How on earth are you just happily swimming with 60 feet of ocean underneath you?
Yeah, exactly. And how do people not notice this?
How aren't there more sharks there? Just in general, 60 feet of ocean.
I kept thinking,
I can't believe there's so many plot holes.
I was having a problem with the size of the shark throughout because I couldn't really gauge how big it really was. Like, I mean, 70 feet or whatever doesn't really mean anything to me. But it felt like in each shot, it was like different sort of thing. Like sometimes like it was like this massive thing. And then towards the end, I'm like, oh, it's not that big. And then again, further along at the very end, when Jason Statham's doing his big like hero moment and stabbing it in the eye and that, like it's massive again. Like, did you guys find that it sort of, depending on the situation, it did get smaller or bigger?
Like the scene where, what was the little girl's name?
Oh, I can't remember. Yeah. But I know that, the little girl.
The little girl. The little girl was like walking on the O level in Nana 1 and the Meg's there and is like, balls. Well, one, obviously a shark couldn't do that because a shark always has to move because otherwise it suffocates.
Really?
What?
Yeah. So if a shark stops moving, it means it's not getting air through its gills.
I knew that. Oh. I was just saying you found another plot hole.
Yeah, I found another plot hole.
But it was still moving. It's like.
No, it wasn't. It was chilling.
It was like slowly moving towards her, right? Like it's still.
I mean, it looked very close and it stayed very close for a while.
Surely and it then can stop for thing. 2 seconds. Like, it's not like an Energizer bunny just continually going forever. Like,
well, I don't know.
Does it die when it sleeps?
Like, what? No, it actually shuts down half its brain and keeps swimming and then shuts down the other half when the previous half wakes up. It never stops swimming.
When sharks, like, we have a lot of sharks just, like, you know, swimming into things, like, just floating and then.
Yeah.
It's like, another sleeping shark.
All those ones that ate it at the end were actually just asleep and just running into it. They weren't actually eating it.
Is it?
They're like, oh.
It's like just a congested, crowded area. They're like, oh, excuse me. Sorry. Yeah, excuse me.
Sorry. Sorry, just
get out of the way.
Sleep, swimming again. You know how it is.
Jerry, wake up.
But anyways, I'm sure the filmmakers really thought about those kind of things when they're making this movie.
I mean, look, make a movie about a shark, Google it real quick.
What do sharks do? Yeah, what do megalodons do? Do you know what a megalodon does though, Paul? So like we're looking at sharks. Yeah. Maybe the problem is that a megalodon has a a little bit different way of breathing and can hold more air like a whale for extended periods of time and not have to
dropping the theoretical science right there.
Yeah.
Cool. Actually, you know what? That is kind of interesting. That's a good way to look at it. Because if it's stuck under that cloud for ages, then.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Sharks don't need to. Do sharks need to surface? They don't need to surface at all.
No, they don't need to surface. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shut up, Jason.
Yeah, but he might have a snorkel, you know.
Like, he might have a snorkel. Wow, the Meg 2, now with snorkel. He has goggles as well so he doesn't get stabbed in the eye.
Yeah, well, he should have sunglasses because he's been in the dark for quite some time. So with his snorkel, he has sunglasses. It's a whole package deal.
Their prescription.
And it's the Meg, some Oakleys, and you can get some sponsorship in there. So just like product placement.
He can be rocking some Beats as well.
Yeah, of course. Have you ever seen a shark without Beats, really?
Listening to those dank tunes.
Yeah.
It's like, I picked something up on the sonar. What is it? It's Black Eyed Peas.
The Meg 2, Pimp My Meg.
Pimp My Meg.
Anyways, so moving on, what were we talking about now?
Dude, I actually don't know.
No, I don't even know where we're at.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Oh, talking about sequels, what giant thing would you want Jason Statham to take? Is it Statham or Statham? How do you say his name?
It's been bothering me the whole podcast. It's Jason Statham.
Statham?
Yeah, you keep saying Statham.
I'm just going to say Statham. Like,
don't say that really either. Say Statham. British.
Statham.
Say his name. Jason Statham.
So, wait, which one is it?
Statham.
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 All right. All right. Cool. Whatever.
Russell's very passionate about this.
Yeah, he's very passionate about pronunciation of people that
do
we
not
don't know.
This is Jason Statham.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Statham. Mr. Statham.
No, mate.
Okay, so what giant thing do you want him to take on next? Paul, what do you want to see for the Meg 2?
The Meg 2, I'd like to see him take on the sharking industry. I think that's plaguing. They should team up Sea Shepherd. No, in reality, I think it'd be awesome if he fights an ancient giant koala. Yep.
What?
Trying to figure out how to respond to that one. That's interesting.
Wombat? What do we have that was massive?
Yeah, no,
remember
giant
we had
wombats.
Something that was massive?
We had giant wombats.
Yeah, fight a wombat.
Wombat's massive. Did we have massive wombats?
Yeah. We had massive wombats.
Huge wombats, bro.
Do you know if you hit a wombat, it'll do so much damage to your car because it's like hitting a
rock.
It's
hitting a rock.
Yeah. So imagine what a giant wombat would do to your car.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's like a rock hitting you.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like if all of you sprouted legs.
Yeah.
Okay, that would be it. That's it right there. Uluru is a giant wombat. And we wake it up.
We've already seen Jason Statham versus The Rock before in a movie.
I was thinking that it'd be cool to have them like team up in this movie because this could be the Hobbs and Shaw spinoff that we've been waiting for. And they just like drive fast cars underwater to take on megalodons.
Okay. There you go. Sorry, this just came to me. A way better title than the Meg. It could have been the Shark and the Furious.
The Shark Tokyo and the Furious.
Tokyo Rift.
Oh, no. Shark and the Furious.
Tokyo Rift.
Yes. If you're going for alternative titles for this, I was actually going down the Red Dwarf route because have you ever seen Red Dwarf? I was going. If you had a different title for this, I'd call it Smeg and Meghead.
I would have called it Bite Club.
Bite Club. Oh, yeah. But yeah, that would be Smeg and Meghead. Yeah,
this is what it's called in Asian markets. That's how it's marketed.
Yeah, Smeg and Meghead. You could have Jason Statham. Man, I don't even know which way.
You did it, Jason
Statham. Yeah, you could have him just have a line, kind of like Samuel Jackson. The Smeg and Meghead. Oh, I'm gonna get the Smeg and Meghead. I'm gonna get him real.
Too many Smeg and Megheads on this Smeg and plane.
Smeg and submarine.
Samuel Jackson. Oh my gosh. There you go. Samuel Jackson's character from Deep Blue Sea should show up in the Meg 2.
Yeah. No, he should crash into the sea in the snake infested plane, and there's a giant snake somehow in the plane, and then it's basically I don't know, Anaconda versus a Meg
kind of thing.
But a massive massive Anaconda kind of thing, not just the size of
what I would like to see in the Meg 2 is to tie it to the Jurassic World universe, and it would be the Meg versus the Mosasaurus.
I kept thinking that scene in Jurassic World, right at the very end of
in the Wave
Kingdom, in the Wave, was way more terrifying than anything in this movie. I never felt that level of terror. And
have you ever seen the original title, the title cover of the book that this is based on?
No, I haven't.
Have a look in the messenger chat real quick. I just posted it.
Yeah.
It's that scene.
Oh, what?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. See that? That's terrifying.
That is terrifying.
So Jurassic World stole the cover of the Meg for their movie.
Yep.
And then for the movie of the Meg, they couldn't use that because it had already been on film.
Yep.
That would have been unfortunate.
Yeah.
Is that the original cover though? Because it says soon to be a major motion picture from Warner Brothers. So
yeah, I don't think so. I think it's kind of the revised covers they did when Ready Player One or whenever anything is becoming a motion picture.
Yeah. Yeah, because they it might not have been the original, so they might have actually stolen it from Jurassic World. But I wanted something like that to happen in this movie because I found that as like a really terrifying moment in Jurassic World. And it was kind of unfortunate.
But we should post this image up somewhere for people to see, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, we should put it up on our Facebook page or something so people can see what you're talking about.
If you want to see what we're talking about, it's on the Facebook page. There you go.
And if you're on the Facebook page and don't know what the hell we're talking about, listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
Don't question it. This podcast has loopholes as well. What would have been awesome, and I would really love to make a re-edit. Yeah,
you just found a plot hole in our podcast.
Oh, every week.
That's impressive.
Would be take that scene from Jurassic World with the Mosasaurus, but then also edit the Megalodon on the other side. So this one surfer is just about to get spit roasted by
that'd be amazing.
That'd be awesome.
Did you like, cause I never really felt like anyone was ever in danger in this movie. Like at all. Did you ever like, did you get that feeling? I feel like you did, Paul, but what about you, Dean? Did you?
The only time I thought Jason Statham was going to die was like right towards the end when all the sharks were spawning.
You actually thought he was going to die? Like I did not think he'd die at all.
Because they were like fully taken up, like, you know, talking up his, I'm going to, you know, take the sacrifice kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, right.
It's, you know, all about who you save, not who dies, that kind of stuff. I was like, oh, they're actually going to kill him off. And then I just thought that they maybe, like, they just cut and then you never actually see what happens to him and then that's the last you see. But then, no, they
bring well, like, it ends like the Gray? And he's just like, yeah,
with a bunch of sharks.
Take on the shark. And it's like, then the titles come up and that's it. Like he just prepares and that's just it.
He's got like knives taped to his hand.
Yeah. Smashes some glass bottles and tapes them to his hand, ready to go. And
he's pretty much doing that already with like, you know, he shanked a shark.
Like he did with a submarine. Wait, when did they have like those sharp fins on them too?
When
like,
it got
where,
bit,
where did that?
It got bit by the shark.
It was a shard of metal.
Exposed structure.
Yeah.
So it's source of its own demise.
Yes.
Pretty much. Yes. Prison rules. Well, you bit my ship. I'm gonna gut you, and then I'm gonna stab you in the eye with a needle.
Jason Statham used his prison wallet, pulled out the shank.
Yeah.
I rewatched Deadpool 2 the other day, so I've got all like the prison wallet jokes.
I was really disappointed that he didn't do many more like diving things because like he isn't like a Commonwealth Games diver or something from like, I don't know, the 80s or something like that. And
a go-go dancer.
Hey, is he really a go-go dancer?
A film clip as a like in his little speedo doing some go-go dancing in the background. Look it up. Right. Look up Jason Statham go-go dance. It'll change your life.
I don't think I want to.
You should. Everyone should
read his biography. His biography on IMDb is hilarious.
Really?
He has also been he was on the British diving team, and then it goes. Yeah. He has also been a fashion model, black market salesman.
Oh, yeah. Apparently, like, he,
that's
like...
That's an interesting thing to put in your bio there.
Apparently, that's basically what got him the job in Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels for Guy Ritchie because he was like, you know, people can act this way, but to really act this way, you've got to have actually done it in real life. So he was like, yeah, I used to do a lot of stuff like this, like steal cars or whatever, and sell them and pawn them off and whatnot. And yeah, that's how he got his job.
That makes heaps of sense. And then that launched his career.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Which is crazy. But moving on from him, what about favorite part, least favorite part? I've already sort of covered my least favorite part because I think Toshi dying was like just pointless and seemed a bit dumb. But what about you guys? What's your favorite and least favorite part? Dean, what did you think?
My favorite bit, I don't know, I think for me, and you guys might disagree, but I thought, I think I enjoyed the movie more and more as it went along. And for me, the last like 45 minutes was the funnest, like was the best.
Yeah.
After the second shark shows up.
Yeah, and, like, I found it a bit boring in the first act, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, it's what? Like the way it starts, that kind of worried me, the first scene, because I was sitting there thinking, oh no, this is serious. They're trying to make it a serious film. I don't want to see a serious shark film. I want to see something fun. Yeah,
I've seen that already.
Yeah. I was like, I saw it. Only Jaws can do a serious shark film, or the others just have to be stupid. Otherwise, I won't like them.
I mean, Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus took itself too seriously.
Oh, I
did. I actually haven't seen that, so.
Oh, that sucked. It's cool. Oh,
did it?
I think the shark wins. Yeah, not
that's good to know. Oh.
That's, now I don't spoilers. Have to watch that, thank you.
Spoilers for Mega Shark vs. Giant Octopus.
Yeah, you ruined it for
they
me.
They call it a Megalodon as well, so there you go, it's a thing.
See, I'm referring to movies like, you know, Deep Blue Sea and Sharknado that know they're ridiculous and then just have fun with the whole...
Man, Deep Blue Sea's...
What's the Blake Lively one?
Oh, The Shallows.
I haven't seen that yet.
But it actually looks really good. Like,
that was a good movie.
It looks really good. Paul, what do you think? What was your favorite part and least favorite part?
Least favorite part was the overuse of the people who spend a lot of time in the ocean are shocked at how quickly a boat accelerates and just keep falling over the back.
Yeah, that's true.
It should have just been called Wear a Seatbelt, the movie. Because holy balls. I'm pretty sure like four true, people died that way.
Like, how many times? It was like two or three times dumb. People fall off the boats.
It's so good.
Just stop falling off the boat, morons.
Yeah.
If I'm in a situation like that, I am holding on to something for dear life.
Oh, man, I'd be like welded to the top of the boat by the time they say that there's a shark in the water. That's how
tether
quickly
yourself,
I'd
guys.
Be like, yeah.
Tether I would yourself.
Yes.
Freeze my own urine to lock me in place.
Yes, exactly.
I think my least favorite part would
it
be.
It just naturally freezes because that's how frightened you are.
It's called my fear.
Your body temperature shuts down to protect yourself from the danger.
Yeah. No, but yeah, I think I hated the lead up to Ryan Wilson's death. I thought that was retarded. I thought that was dumb. Sorry.
Is it Ryan or Rain?
Dude,
I believe it's
Ryan. Ryan. Dwight's death. The lead up to Dwight's death, I thought was silly.
Really, I'm confused. I thought there was only one person on this podcast that mispronounced names.
Yeah.
But
apparently all three of us are going for it hard tonight.
Oh yeah, we daily are.
We all want shirts, apparently.
Yep.
Welcome to Nerds Before Birds, the podcast where we mispronounce your name.
Yeah. It's definitely Rain Wilson, though, right? Like, because
I'm pretty sure you're right.
Rain.
Give us $5 a month on Patreon and we'll mispronounce your name, too. where was I? Oh, yeah, that was stupid. My favorite bit, I think, when the second shark reveal is awesome. And as much as like scientifically, not too sure how it works, I did really enjoy the shot of the shark just watching the little girl. That was really, or the bit where they send Bing Bing down in the shark tank and they're like, it's coming at you, 30 meters, 20 meters, 10 meters. And you're like, where is the damn shark? And then she looks down. And you're like, oh,
that's right.
Not having
and
that.
And I kept thinking, I was like, why aren't they telling her what direction it's coming from? Because like, she doesn't have a screen in front of her.
Yeah.
And they're like, it's coming towards you. I'm like, just tell her where from, like what angle, like, is it coming from the left, right?
That's
like,
it.
Yeah. Cause like, they did not think this through very well.
I think, in all honesty, the scene that scared me the most was that one. Because I do have, like, a low-key fear of deep water purely for that exact reason. It's like, you are in a 360 zone where you can get attacked from anywhere.
Yeah, and that is terrifying.
And you can't see anything.
Absolutely anywhere. And you can't see it coming until you're screwed. There was a game that I played on stream, like, a few months ago called Subnautica, and it had that. to a T. Like, you know, you're sort of in the shallows and it's good and you're kind of getting your resources. But if you want to upgrade your base, you got to get the better resources, which are deeper. Yep. And they do that very, very well, where you sort of hear a noise and you're like, what is that? And then something just comes at you and you're like, ah, and then you quit. And then people laugh at you on stream. It's great.
It's like I do a little bit of surfing, but I'm not great. I'm a terrible surfer. And it is the most terrifying thing when you're out there on your own and your feet are just dangling off the bottom, like the side of the surfboard, and the water's murky and you can't see anything that's around you. And it's nice and choppy. That is the most terrifying thing. And all that goes through my head is like the Jaws music and the fact that I can't see the ground. And I can totally understand that fear. But this movie didn't do it for me. It didn't scare me because I never felt like they were ever in danger. Like I never felt, even people that died, I never felt like they were in danger. And I think part of it was because I was like, I don't understand how big, I think I got just too caught up on the size of the Megalodon. I was like, because I was like, is it big? Is it small? Like what it, like when they look into the depths of the water, will they see it coming from like a mile away because it's so big still? Or
Also the fact that the animation wasn't on point most of the time. It looked fake. I think at one point where it looked like they're about to get attacked by the shark, like there's no way to get out of it, I turned to Rachel and did like the whole Monty Python quote. And then at that second, the animator had a heart attack. And they were fine.
You know the animator that has the heart attack in The Holy Grail is Terry Gilliam, right?
Yeah, the actual animator and director.
Yeah, the actual animator, which is fantastic. So... I the scariest death that I've ever seen in a shark movie that is not Jaws is actually the Samuel Jackson one, and that does not hold up at all from Deep Blue Sea. And mainly because of the shock value. But I remember watching that when I was younger and thinking like that's terrifying, that movie. But you go back and watch that now and it's not good. Because the visual effects are just so crap. Oh,
what I would have loved to have seen is for someone to get attacked and then they bob back up and they're like, help me. And they pull them up, but it's purely just a torso.
Oh, yeah. That's like the classic
fake out.
Classic, name? Fake out. Hey, what I wanted to see is like it to jump a bit more. I wanted to. People on the top of the boats to not be safe kind of thing, like to feel like you could be attacked at any time.
And they showed that. And when it killed the second Meg, you're like, okay, this thing can get you from anywhere.
Yeah, but it never gets any people in that moment.
If it jumped out and grabbed a helicopter, it would have gone a long way. That would have been, I was a bit disappointed we didn't get that. Even though it's a bit of a trope, I wanted to see it.
I wanted to see it too. I really wanted to see it too.
Wanted Bing Bing to get crushed by a squid because I'm like, what would happen to a human body exposed to pressure at 11,000 feet? That would be amazing. It'd be
just a death off screen in this movie because that's just how they roll.
Have you seen Total Recall, Paul? I'm guessing like the original. I'm guessing it'd be something like that.
Yeah.
That like actually that. Does happen, doesn't it? Like the face like explodes or whatever.
Detonate.
That's a very accurate Arnie Schwarzenegger there.
Thank you. Is I love here? It. It's my favorite.
We've been visited by a special guest, Jason Statham and Arnold Schwarzenegger tonight.
Yeah.
We're so lucky.
I am back.
Now do a conversation between the two.
This is kind of very annoying you so much. It's annoying you, mate. It's annoying me. You know what I mean?
Have them plug our Patreon, Dean.
Yeah.
Support us on Patreon and I'll stop.
This is one of them.
Come on. You know what I mean?
No, mate.
Where can they find us, too?
Where can you find... You can find us everywhere. We are all over the place on Facebook, on Twitter, but my podcast. Yeah, the one that the podcast. Not what are you, Maureen?
Shut up. What are you doing? This is really bad.
We have descended into hell.
You can find us on SoundCloud. And you can find us on iTunes.
I can feel the Patreon supporters already pulling out from...
What are you doing? Come back here. I'm finished.
I can hear the view count dropping.
Yeah. Doing this, you ugly bastard.
If you've made it this far into the podcast, you've got no one to blame but yourself.
You asked for this.
You're along for the ride on this one. You
asked for this.
Hiro Nakamura. Yeah.
You knew I would do it. You knew I've been practicing for a week. You asked for
like 2 seconds before the podcast.
You know Dean will do anything with minor peer pressure.
Yeah.
He almost wants you to peer pressure him. He's like Elfo from Disenchantment.
Yeah. He's Elfo from Disenchantment.
Well, peer pressure me.
I'm not too sure if I want this. Can you guys peer pressure me? Sure I can, pal.
Oh, man. Actually, I'm going to add another. I've recently added another impression. Oh, to gosh. My vocabulary, and that's from this movie, and it's my favorite part. Pippin! Pippin!
Oh. Did anyone else want that character. Dog to just die?
I'm sad it lived.
No!
Yeah.
It's Pippin!
So he looked like a rat.
And I also when Jason Statham is like getting...
Statham.
Jason Statham.
Jason Statham.
When he's getting pulled in to the boat, I kept thinking, why doesn't he just reach out and grab the dog? Because he's like really close, right?
He looks at it. He looks at it.
Yeah, he's like, And even he decides to like not rescue it. The guy that rescues everything in this movie decides to let the dog die.
Maybe the dog was his friend and he's like, well, I kill my friend, so I can't rescue it. What message is that sending?
Yeah, exactly. Goodness. Yeah.
I would have loved to have seen the dog die and then Keanu Reeves comes out of nowhere and just kills the shark.
Kills the shark, yeah. And then we realize that it's actually the third John Wick movie.
That's
how it ends.
Seamless. Yeah,
whatever, it's good.
That's how he gets out of like the life debt or whatever. He's got like the bounty on his head. He's got to kill a megalodon.
Megalodon is the kingpin.
This movie holds something special in that I can think of so many different ways to tie it into other franchises. Like, it could tie into the Mission Impossible universe, right? Hear me out for this one. Yeah, you remember when they fired the missile? I think it was in... what's the fourth one?
Ghost Protocol. It's
Ghost Protocol.
Yeah.
And he's like, mission accomplished. And he just stops it and it like... punches through two buildings and then slams into the ocean.
Yeah.
If you made that ocean the beach where everyone's swimming and the missile just comes out of nowhere and just like implants into this shark's face and they're like, oh, you stopped a nuke and a shark.
And the megalodon.
You're all right, Tom Cruise.
And then the next movie would just be everyone sitting around talking about how good Ethan Hunt is by killing a megalodon with a nuclear weapon.
That's right, because he's out of bullets.
Yeah, exactly. All right. I think that's about all we've got time for this week.
Yep.
But final thoughts. What did you guys give it out of 5 birds? Dean.
Double checking. What is the runtime for the Meg?
It's 1:51. 53.
We're so close. Can we just keep talking for
it? We're not going to do a bloody Meg podcast the same length as Meg.
Yeah.
That would be
good. Let's just say it had 20-minute credits and kill it here.
Yeah. I don't like this movie enough to actually make the runtime of the movie in this podcast.
That's fair.
But
enough.
Apparently, we like it enough to talk for 90 minutes about it.
Oh, my goodness.
That's true.
We've talked about better movies for less time.
That is true. But, you know, there's going to be probably heaps of cuts in this. So it probably won't be that long. I haven't given what did you give it out of 5 birds, Paul? Because Dean, you said 2.5.
He did stupid math. I got no idea what he had.
Shut up. After
it was like 8 out of 10 4.
7.5 over 2.
I had a double take, like a second look at my teriology there. And it turns out 2 birds. 2 birds out of 5.
And if you times that by 1, you'll get Jason's of 4.
Yeah.
2 birds out of 5.5.
What? Oh my gosh.
5
Why
and a quarter.
Why can't you just answer questions?
5 and a quarter.
What happened to you?
Yeah.
Well, then you times it by 1 and then it doubles. So.
Of course. Of course. Yeah. That's how Jason, you get 5 and a quarter.
What would you give it?
I would give it 2 birds for this one because it's okay, but I agree with you, Dean, from your earlier, not your math, but your whole thing where you're like saying that you'd say that it's worth a watch, but it's still
it's crap.
Flipping the bird.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's still crap.
I agree.
And I mean, that's kind of what it is.
Mm. I'm giving it the half because it was entertaining. It's like, this entertained me. I was on edge for like nearly 2 hours.
Yeah.
Have a half fair a bird.
Enough. Yeah, fair enough. Have a half a bird.
You know when a dog does a poo and it like does the swirly thing? It's like a fun turd. That's what this movie is.
It's a fun turd. That is on the posters.
Yeah, I think this could make the poster. Anyways, so I think that's about all we've got time for this week. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you like this podcast and you want to support the show, visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/nerdsbeforebirds. You can contribute any amount starting at $1 a month, and that just really helps us to keep the lights going. If you can't support us financially and you want to support us in another way, just feel free to subscribe and follow us on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, and we're on all the socials. So it's Nerds Before Birds on Facebook and Nerds Before Birds on Instagram. I think it's Nerds Before Birds podcast actually on Instagram, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Nerds Before Bird.
Yes.
Bird.
Yes.
On Twitter.
Couldn't pluralize it.
So we'll be manning all those, and we're happy to respond to any questions or anything that you have. So feel free to shoot through. And if you have any suggestions for a podcast that you'd like to hear, feel free to shoot that through too. Otherwise, that's a bye from me.
Bye.
Sharks can move both their lower and upper jaws. Good night, everybody.
Ew.